Good morning and welcome to Lake Region Bible Church. Gail and I are back from Arizona. Gail got a little sunshine on her face, and I got a wonderful tan. It's great to be there, visiting our grandchildren, and they're all doing well, and we're happy for that. This morning, before I start, I want to ask you a question, but all I want you to answer is the last word, because it's a commercial, and most people know this commercial. So I'm going to say the beginning of it, and then I'm going to point to you and ask for the last word. Are you ready?
Yep.
What's in your
wallet?
What's in your wallet? Everybody knows that Capital One commercial. What's in your wallet? So I ask you this morning, what's in your wallet? Have you determined what you've already given to the Lord? Because we've already taken the offering. My sermon title today is Time, Talent, and Treasure. Going to be looking at Deuteronomy 8, 11 through 18. And some other verses as we go through, and making some comments, some things that were in here, and some things that my wife wouldn't let me put in here. But nevertheless, so let's read Deuteronomy 8, chapter 8, in the ESV, verses 11 through 18. Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today. This is Moses speaking. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground, where there was no water. Who brought you water out of the flinty rock? Who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do you good in the end? Beware, lest you say in your heart, my power and my might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. So let's remember, Moses told the people in the wilderness. One of the wonderful things about the people in the wilderness is they wandered for 40 years. Is that their clothes didn't wear out. Wouldn't it be nice you didn't have to go shopping for clothes every other year? I just keep all my stuff and eventually it comes back into style. So that works out fine. So our first priority should be giving back to the Lord what he has given to us. Everything that we have belongs to the Lord, and we are his stewards. We've been entrusted with them. And how we use the resources that he provides for us is how he blesses us. To someone that takes care of little but doesn't do a good job, little will be given. But for someone who is given a lot and takes care of a lot, even more will be given. And we've read the stories to that effect. Moses told the people to be careful to obey all God's commandments, so that they may live, multiply, and possess the land the Lord had promised to give them. So the Lord had promised to give them this land of Canaan, which is now present-day Israel. However, the people wandered in the desert for 40 years until all the old people that did not believe had died off. Because there were many that did not believe because they sent out Caleb and spies to check out the land. And they said, those people are big and they are strong. They are the size of Bob Blomberg. And they have muscles like Dave Podolsky and Nate Rickard. And we don't want to mess with those people because they're big and they're strong. However, the people wandered in the desert for 40 years until the old people died off. They asked the Amorites then. They were getting ready to go. Now, the reason I have this story in here about the Amorites is because Gail and I went to Israel last March. I wanted to put some pictures up, and I'll tell you what the pictures were so you can just imagine in your mind. They asked the Amorites if they could go through their territory on the way to the promised land, Canaan, because all they had to do is go through their territory and right on over into Canaan, the promised land. Once again, they were denied and had to defeat the Amorites. After this defeat, they went on to capture Jazer, a city about 20 miles northeast of the Dead Sea. And I was thinking, 20 miles northeast of the Dead Sea. So there Gail and I were floating in the Dead Sea last March. You walk out into the Dead Sea until the water comes up to your knees. And then you turn around and sit down. As you start to sit down, your feet come up. And you just stretch out your arms and you float. Because nothing sinks in the Dead Sea. Even as fat and heavy as I am, I floated. We floated. Gail had her hands down for a while. I said, just lift up your hands. I said, and I have a picture of that. I'll show you on my phone later. But I wanted to put it up, but Gail said, no, you're not putting that picture of us up, floating in the Dead Sea. But not only was there salt water in the Dead Sea, in the beautiful hotel we stayed at, the swimming pool was filled with salt water. And so you floated in the swimming pool. And the hot tub had salt water, and so you could float around in the hot tub. It was a wonderful thing. But you won't get to see the pictures because they're on my camera, but and she wouldn't let me put them in. So that's what I was thinking. There we were in that spot where the Israelites had been as God was leading and directing them. But they wouldn't follow God's advice always. So instead of turning right and going over into the promised land, they kept going north. And after this, after they defeated the Amorites, they went on to capture Jazer, a city about 20 miles northeast of the Dead Sea. So there I was, floating in the Dead Sea, knowing that this, I didn't know at the time, but that this city 20 miles north was where the Israelites had taken over. After that, they proceeded to the battle against Og, the king of Bashan, 15 miles southeast of the Sea of Galilee. And I said, oh, the Sea of Galilee, because we were on a boat on the Sea of Galilee when we were in Israel. And I've got a t-shirt that says, I sailed on the Sea of Galilee. And then I even helped the fishermen throw the net out the boat to try to catch some fish. But we didn't catch any fish. And everybody else, the 43 people in our group, kept saying, throw it out the right side because we threw it out the left side. I said, you didn't read the Bible. It says throw it out the right side of the boat, not the left side. After that, they proceeded to the battle against Og, 15 miles southeast of the Sea of Galilee. And if you want a fuller explanation, it's given by Moses in Deuteronomy 3, 1 through 11, and you can read that on your own. I won't bore you. It's not boring, but it's really exciting. Now back to give, save, and spend. Because that's what I'll be talking about today. Giving, saving, and spending. When our kids were growing up, they each had a little red book that they kept track of the money they earned mowing lawns, doing errands, delivering the advertiser newspaper, and we told them, you need to be able to give 10% to the church. Okay? You need to be able to save 40%. And you need to be able to, therefore, you'd have 50% left to spend. So when we talked about giving 10% to the church, saving 50%, and then spending 50%. And they had a little ledger and they kept track of it and so on and so forth. But our son Gabriel would always spend more than his 50%. And then he'd want to borrow money from Gail. And then when it came time for his next earnings, she would say, yeah, 10% to the church, and you save this much, but you owe me this much, so you don't get 50% to spend this time. You only get 20%. And he goes, Mom, you're stealing my money. And she goes, no, I'm not. You're repaying your debt. Because he had spent money that he didn't have or over the amount. So beware, Moses tell the people. In your time of plenty, you do not forget the Lord your God and disobey his commands, as stated in Deuteronomy 8:11-18, which we read. Never say to yourself, I have achieved this with my own strength. I did this. I got a new car. I got a new house. Because of my own strength and energy, I fix my plumbing. Remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you the power to be successful. Now, I didn't fix my own plumbing. I called Tom. And a lot of us call Tom. And Tom is so nice, he hates to say no to people when he should say no because he has so many things to do. And I always feel guilty, so when it's time to pay Tom, I'll say, how much was it? He'll say, $50. And I'll say, oh, okay, here's $100. Oh, no, that's too much. Let me give you $20 back. Oh, no. So it's terrible when you have to do business with Tom because you can't pay him what he deserves because he always wants to give you money back. And I said, no, just keep it because there'll be somebody else that will not be able to pay you what they should be. And so take this. So, you know, I like to come over and we talk and Tom works and we talk and Tom works and we talk. But never say you're able to do this on your own because the Lord, your God, gives you the strength. So you haven't achieved this with your own strength and energy. Remember the Lord, your God. He is the one who gives you power to be successful. Not only does our world, our money, and possessions belong to the Lord, and he tells us to be content with what we have. Be content with what we have. Be content with what we have. Now, when my wife and I got married, we had double incomes, no kids. That's called dinks in present-day language. Double income, no kids. And then we had our first child. So we went from two incomes to one income and three people. That's OI for one income and 3P for three people. So they keep with the Star Wars, you know. So we were OI3P. And I'm thinking, how are we going to make it? Because now our money got cut in half and the number of people got increased by a half. So this doesn't work out, Lord. What's going to happen here? And so you think of, well, maybe I shouldn't give as much to the church. Or maybe I shouldn't spend as much here or there. But remember, everything that you have comes from the Lord, and he will provide for all your needs, not all your greeds. So if you look at in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 11, 12, and 13. Not that I am speaking of being in need, For I've learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. It's not me that's doing it, but I can do all things through Him, God, who strengthens us to carry out these deeds. And so, He also says to use what we have. He also says to use what He has given us to care for the needy. So we take care of those in need as much as we can. God has made us caretakers of His creation so that we can use its great wealth, not for ourselves, but to glorify Him. So when He increases our wealth, it's to glorify Him. Now, my wife is tired of hearing this, but you know, when her mom and dad died, after they died, they inherited, well, she inherited 33 and two-thirds acre, and they also gave money to the home where her sister had lived, but the home didn't want that. They gave land, but the home didn't want that land. They wanted money. And it was in central Illinois, prime farmland. And so they said, okay, each one of you can buy back 6 1/3 acre, which would bring us up to a total of 40 acres. So, but the 6 1/3 acre was going to cost $65,000. Whoa! Yeah, because land is expensive, farmland. And I learned after World War II, people were paying $500 to $1,000 an acre land. And now we're paying $10,000 for an acre of land. And so that's the difference between then and now. But the Lord had provided for us, so we were able to buy that. So now we're the proud owners of 40 acres of farmland in central Illinois that Gail's brothers farms. He rents it out from us and farms it, and then he pays us rent for farming it. So we get some money back. Well, that's good because Gail retired, so then her income was cut in half. And I was thinking, oh, Lord, you're doing it to me again. We had this my income retirement, and then she had her income that she was working, but then she decided to retire. Not really. Retire. And do half time, and so her pay is basically cut in half. So now we went from two incomes to one and a half, but we didn't have any kids because our kids are all grown now, so that's good. So that sort of worked out and balanced out. And that's how it is with the Lord. He works things out for us, so we need not worry about anything because all it will do is add gray hair to our head. Because He will take care of all our needs. He also says, after taking care of the needy, God has made us caretakers of His creation so we can use its great wealth, not for ourselves, but to glorify Him. We need to learn and practice and keep principles about money and possessions reflected in God's Word, including these things. You need to remember that these things are important in God's Word. Rest. Friday is pastor's day off. So don't be calling pastor on Friday, because that's his day off. If you do, you're going to get a voicemail that says, I'm not here. You know? And then you'll be saying, where's pastor? Well, that's his day off, because he works on Sunday. The second thing, work. Most of us work so many days a week or so many hours a week. Our granddaughter out in Arizona, who we thought was maybe hopeless, now she's got a job as a cashier at a car washer, and she's getting 30-some hours a week. And you know what? She wishes she was getting 40 so she could get benefits, but she's not getting that yet. So rest, work, planning. Do you make a plan out for you? Do you have a budget for yourself? of what you're going to spend. We have a church budget of what we expect to come in and what we expect to spend. Well, our budget was just blown out of the water. Saving. So save what you're able. And then investments and giving. Giving is number one. The Sabbath is also God's gift to us. While different people may rest on different days of the week, our pastor rests on Friday. But he's probably doing a lot of stuff around the house. We should not ignore this principle of setting aside a time for rest. Most of us go home and rest Sunday afternoon and watch football or fall asleep on the couch or read a book, especially those employed by the church. We should not deny them their rest. The Sabbath is a time when we bring our cares to God and seek His perspective on our life and work. So now is the time that we offered up those prayers of praise and prayers of what we need, because God knows what we need even before we speak or ask of it. I want to give praise to God for the 15,000 that came in during the month of December. We certainly didn't expect it. Well, God gives. God takes care. God provides. Everything that we own belongs to God. It's not my car, it's God's car. He's got to work on getting some tires, new tires on that car for the snow season, but God will take care of that. Remember, I think this shows that we cannot outgive God. We just can't outgive God. Many of you support other ministries. We talked about this morning, Cheryl shared, another ministry that we support. We encourage you to keep doing that. I'd also like to offer a challenge. You go, wait a minute, Clarence, what are you talking about? You just said we got all this money. Marcus just said we're $25,000, and now you're going to offer a challenge to Lake Region Bible Church and for those regular givers to increase their giving by whatever percentage they decide between themselves, husband and wives. For those regular givers to increase their giving by whatever percent that they can. It might be 1%. It might be 2%. It might be -1%. Because careful prayer after careful prayer, remember, we don't need your money. We don't need your money. They're going, no, Clarence, make up your mind. You just said you wanted us to consider increasing our giving by a certain percentage, and now you're telling us you don't need their money, our money. Which one is it? We don't need your money because your money belongs to God, and God will provide for all our needs. So we don't need your money, but I'm offering a challenge to you. 2 years ago, we offered a challenge of raising $4,000 in a short amount of time. And we were able to do that because God provided for us. So if you increase your giving, then that will be great. Some of you will be able to, others of you may not. Remember, we don't need your money. God will provide. Also remember that everything that you have comes from the Lord. Now, I know some of you have experiences that others do not have. Some of you might be expecting a new baby. Well, Gail and I don't fall in that category, so we can't use that excuse. Or maybe you have college expenses. You've got kids in college, it's pretty expensive. Or maybe you're going to law school. Pretty expensive, some of those books and things that you have to buy. Or maybe you're saving for a car because the car you have, it's on its last leg. And God knows you need a new car. Or at least an older car that's better than the car you have. Or maybe you're saving for some home repairs. Or maybe you're going on a special trip. God knows. For example, I'm just going to give you an example, because as I was doing this, I was thinking of, for people that go off to college, what is the cost? Because back in my day, it was reasonable. But today, the first figures that I read to you are only for tuition. Only for tuition. Tuition does not count room and board. So if you want to eat and have a place to sleep, you know, and buy books and come home once in a while, that's not included in these figures I give you. I'm just giving you some examples of some colleges, and most of these are Christian colleges, or at least they started off as a Christian college. For example, the cost to go to Biola for a year is $41,976. That's for 1 year. So imagine for 4 years what your college bill is going to be. Something like $117,000 and something more. The cost to go to Olivet Nazarene would be $36,080 a year. The cost to go to Wheaton would be $37,900 a year. The cost to go to Belmont would be $48,170 a year. And the cost to go to Harvard, because I thought I'd throw that in because everybody wants to go to Harvard. Harvard would cost, depending on what field you were in, between $73,000 and $78,000 a year. And once again, this is just tuition. And for all these colleges and universities, this does not include room and board and books and wanting to come home at Thanksgiving or Christmas or something like that. So it's quite expensive. Now, I realize that in some places you can earn scholarships which will reduce that cost, but still it's quite expensive. So Gail and I are glad we're not having a baby, because that's expensive. We're not sending any kids to college. They're on their own now. So with this in mind, we have to remember the schemes of the devil. Because remember, the devil heard part of this. I heard part of this from the sermon at Sun Valley Church in Arizona last Sunday. There are five schemes of the devil that the devil uses to distract us and talk about why we can't give, save, and then spend, live on the rest. Number one is falsehood. Number two is frenzy or busyness. Number three is finances. Number four is flesh. And number five is fear. Falsehood. If we look at John 8:44, you are your father of the devil, and your will is to do your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So Satan is the father of lies. And he will, one of his schemes is to lie to you, to think, Georgia, you can't increase your giving. You've got expenses. You've got things you need to take care of. Clarence isn't talking to you. He must be talking to somebody else. And then if we look at 1 John 1:8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Well, every person has sin, and every person falls short of the glory of God. And it's only by Christ Jesus' blood that we can be saved. So Let's not deceive ourselves. We're all liars at times. Some of us are more liars than others. My wife wanted me to take this out, but I said, no, I'm leaving it in. As of last Friday, our president had a total of 13,436 lies. President Trump lied about the Central Park Five, about five African-American young men who were supposedly committed a crime. He took out a full-page ad and wanted them executed. They were later found to be innocent. He's never apologized for that. Trump lied about the USA and President Obama giving back all this money to Iran. Remember last week he said, and President Obama gave back all this money to Iran, and they took it and built missiles. Well, the missiles they used were old Russian missiles that they already had. And the money that President Obama gave back to Iran was Iran's money to start with. We had taken all their assets in 1979 when they invaded our embassy. We froze their assets. So all their money, Iran's money, belonged to the U.S. because it was frozen, but it really didn't belong to the U.S. It was their money. And if you had to pay interest on that money frozen from 1979 and then give it back to the person, then you're not giving them money. You're giving them back their own money. That's their money. President Carter wouldn't let our athletes go to the Olympics in 1980 who had trained to go because the Iranians had seized our embassy and held hostages. While we forget to tell you that money belonged to Iran, as I said before, when we put a freeze on all their assets in our country, then that's still not our money. If China today were to demand from the United States, pay us all the money you owe us, because China has so many investments in the U.S., it would create a crash in the stock market. And this year alone, remember when President Obama bailed out the auto industry and the price for that? Well, this year alone, the farmers have been paid twice that amount because of our trade policy with China. And why do I tell you these things? Because falsehood. God doesn't want you to believe in falsehood. And the last thing I'm going to talk about is that President Trump lied about discrimination when he refused to rent apartments that he owned to people of color. They would mark their application with a C for colored, so Hispanics and blacks could not rent, Puerto Ricans could not rent apartments that he and his father owned in New York. Because of that, the people sued and the federal government said, you owe and you have to rent these apartments. So God speaks truth through his word and people cannot get away. But President Trump's not the only liar. We all lie to protect ourselves, to keep from injury. You know, if my wife says, does this dress make me look fat? What do you think I'm going to say? No, dear. If the dress did make her fat, I might say, well, there's a better dress over here. But we all lie at times. Some people call them white lies. You know, they never call them black lies. You notice that? But it's a white lie. God speaks the truth through his words. God's will is found in his word. He also speaks through wisdom. So if we look at God's word and wisdom, therefore let us not believe falsehoods told to us by anyone, but rely on God's word. That's where we go for the truth. So if you look at frenzy or busyness, which was the second one we talk about, the devil can't make you bad, but he can make you busy or bored. You know, there was a comedian, and his name was Flip Wilson, and he used to say, the devil made me do it. No, the devil didn't make you do it. But the devil can make you so busy or so bored that you do things that you wouldn't normally do. So we try to remember God's word and be in God's word. And if we take a look at finances, we should think in terms of giving, saving, and then living on the rest, spending. Giving, saving, and spending, living on the rest. And then if you look at flesh, we can't blame the devil for everything. Galatians 6:7 says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that will he also reap." So whatever you do, bring harm to others. There are people this day that still hate black people, or Jewish people, or Italians. Or when this country was first starting out, people would have big signs in their windows saying, "No Irish need apply," because they didn't like them. Well, some of those things still go on today. If we look at fear, we find that the devil wants to keep you afraid. The devil will feed on your fear. The word Satan means accuser. And I'll tell you the story of Martin Luther. Martin Luther, when he went to bed at night, he would have this dream so often, it seemed like every night, that Satan would appear at the foot of his bed. And Satan would have a long scroll of all his lies. Can you imagine a scroll of all the lies you've ever told in your life? All the things that you told your mom and dad that weren't really that way, but you told them thinking you could get away with it. And knowing that sometimes your mom and dad may have known it because they may have told some of those same lies. So this scroll that the devil had that appeared at the foot of the bed of Martin Luther, he would read it. "You did this wrong, and you did this, and you did this, and you did this." And he'd wake up in a cold sweat. And he kept repeatedly having this dream over and over again. And then one night while he was having this dream, an angel appeared and said, "Tell him to go to the bottom of the list." Like, hurry up and get to the last sin? "No, I want to hear all of them." "No, I don't want to hear all of them." So he said to the devil, "Hurry up and get to the bottom and read the last one." And the devil kept reading and reading. Martin Luther said, "Go to the bottom. I want to hear the last thing on the bottom of the scroll." The devil kept reading and reading. And Martin Luther said, "Go to the last one. I want to hear what that's at the bottom of the scroll." So the devil went to the bottom of the scroll. And there it was written, "All your sins are forgiven. They have been paid by the blood of Jesus Christ." All our sins are forgiven if we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And don't let Satan, the accuser, the deceiver, tell you otherwise. We all fall short of the mark. We all need to come to God and ask for forgiveness. So finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil. Ephesians 6, 10 and 11. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. So we need to be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might and put on His armor. So consider what you might give for this year starting next week. If you want to increase or decrease depending on your situation. But ask the Lord which direction He would have you go. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We realize the many schemes the devil has, the deceiver, the accuser, the conjurer, but we will not listen to him. We will read Your word and listen to Your word, and Your word will give us wisdom. And we ask and pray that these words would fall on ears that would hear and feet that would carry the good news of how Your Son died for our sins and our sins can be forgiven. In Jesus' name, amen.